All right, first up is a land use hearing. Items 110 and 111 together, please.
Item 110, consider removal of a condition of approval imposed by prior comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendment ordinance at the request of Allison Reynolds of Stoll Reeves LLP and the recommendation from the hearings officer for property at 1710 Northeast Multnomah Street, LU19-223221 CPZC, and item 111, remove condition of approval imposed by a prior comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendment ordinance for property at 1710 Northeast Multnomah Street at the request of Allison Reynolds, Stoll Reeves, LLP, LU19-223221 CPZC.
All right, very good. First, legal counsel will give us a few announcements about today's hearing.
This is an evidentiary hearing. This means that you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. The testimony will be heard as follows. We will begin with the staff report by BDS for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 15 minutes to address the council. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. As this is a non-emergency ordinance, it will pass the second reading. Council may then make amendments to the ordinance and findings or direct staff to return with amendments. For evidentiary hearings, I'd like to announce several guidelines to those who will be addressing council today. Submitting evidence into the record. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Testimony must be directed to the approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, or evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as a part of their staff report to council. Issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. The applicant must identify constitutional challenges to a condition of approval. Additionally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed condition of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court.
Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? No members of the council are declaring a conflict of interest. Do any members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing to disclose? No commissioners do. Have any members of the council made any visits to the sites involved in this matter?
No.
Do any council, I'm hearing none, and do any council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin the hearing? I'm seeing none. With that, we'll start with the staff report. 10 minutes, come on up, name for the record, microphones move around, and for those of you who are presenting today, about 6-ish inches works pretty well with these microphones, and they just slide around.
Well, thank you, and good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler.
Good afternoon.
City Commissioners. My name is Don Kingholz. I'm a senior planner with the Bureau of Development Services, and I'm here to present the hearings officer's recommendation for a comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendment review. It is case file LU19-223221, and CPZC is the nomenclature that we use for the comp plan map amendment and zone change. This is one of the city's highest level of land use reviews, and it has to be approved by City Council after being reviewed and recommended to City Council by a hearings officer. So it's gone through a fairly robust public process. And just as an orientation of where we are, This is an aerial photo of the site, labeled subject site. It's just north of Interstate 84. You'll see to the west where I've labeled a movie theater. Northeast 16th Avenue is the boundary between the Central City Plan District and, in this case, it's the it's outside of that in Sullivan's Gulch neighborhood. But that is the Lloyd Center, and that, of course, heads to the west. Directly to the east is Northeast 21st Avenue, a crossing of Interstate 84 from Sullivan's Gulch into the Kearns neighborhood. The property is zoned commercial mixed-use 3 with a D overlay. That's for design, and that's on the northern property. On the southern portion, it's open space with a conservation environmental overlay. It's important to note that all the development that's currently on-site is all north of that line, so it's all in the CM3 district boundary. And typically, what we're here for, this comprehensive plan, map amendment, and zone change, we're changing both the zoning map, the official city zoning map, as well as the city's comprehensive plan. In this case, though, we're doing neither. So this is kind of an unusual review, and it's more of a technicality as to why we're here than going through a rather large development. And so the applicant, as you noted earlier, is requesting to remove a condition of approval that's associated with an old 1989 comprehensive plan map amendment that was put on the site. The only reason that we're here is because anytime we modify a condition of approval or remove one from a previous land use review, we have to go through the exact same review that we went through when we originally passed it. So even though this is just removing a condition of approval, we have to go through this robust public process. Going back into 1989, the property was originally zoned RH, or high-density residential. It was then changed as part of that 89 approval to commercial use. The applicant at the time was not seeking to open up the entirety of the commercial uses that would be allowed. They only wanted to have an extended stay limited hotel on the site. And because of that, the applicant at the time requested that this condition of approval be placed on the property. That was for two reasons. One, the local neighborhood association was concerned that changing it from residential use to commercial use would bring significantly more intense uses than the residential use, but also they didn't want to go through the full-blown traffic evaluation and analysis that would be required, because when we do that, we have to look at worst-case scenarios. So whether it's a low-intense retail use or it's a high-intense, you know, entertainment type of use, they would have to look at all the worst-case scenarios. So by limiting it to just the extended-stay hotel, they were able to limit the scope of the transportation review, but also kind of alleviate some of the concerns that came up from the local neighborhood association. So just to give some context of the site, I'm going to go through a few photos. This site is looking south from Northeast Multnomah Street. That is behind or on the screen there. Hopefully you can see that. Those are the extended stay hotel rooms. Each of these have facilities for someone staying a few weeks. You know, kitchen, bathrooms, little living room. They're very much like an apartment already. And so is the design and the location on the site, but it is a hotel. And there's proof through the sign. This is looking directly east from the corner of the property. Again, this area does have some high density residential uses in the area, as well as some low density, even single family dwellings in the immediate vicinity. This is on the south side of the property. The reason I have this in here is that this parking lot, just on the other side of those cars where those trees are, that's the zoning line between the open space and the CM3 district. So again, there's no development proposed and there's no use currently on the open space side of the property. And this, of course, is looking west towards the up-and-coming Lloyd District with some of the new development that's there. What you see in front of you is the movie theater and the eastern extent of the mall. And this is showing just some of the lower density housing that is in the vicinity there. So again, the applicant's request is to move this condition of approval from 1989. And the approval criteria, the relevant approval criteria, are found in Portland Zoning Code Section 33.810.050A, the first one being that on balance, the proposed designation is equally or more supportive of the comprehensive plan as a whole. That essentially means that you don't have to meet every single comprehensive plan policy. Some of them are weighted more heavily than others, but in general, you have to meet them as a whole, be more supportive. The second criterion is that the proposed designation is consistent with statewide planning goals, and there's 19 of those. So staff evaluated, and the hearings officer did as well, all 633 plan policies of the comprehensive plan, as well as the 19 statewide planning goals. And the approval criteria also do require us to look at Metro's functional plan for consistency. In general, the ones that are relevant look at housing, economic development, transportation, and land use, and the pattern of land use. Staff originally found that on the whole it was supportive, and the hearings officer agreed with that. One of the biggest reasons for that is that by removing this condition of approval, this site can then be developed to the full potential, if you will, of the commercial CM3 zoning. Currently, there's no proposed development, but what we have heard is that the interest currently is to change the use of that from the hotel use to a housing residential use, so it would increase the amount of housing that's available in this neighborhood as well as overall in the city of Portland. Many of the buildings are more than 20 units, so a change of use could potentially trigger the inclusionary housing requirements, which again would meet several of our comprehensive plan policies. For the zone map amendment, there are three applicable approval criteria. The first, of course, is compliance with the comprehensive plan, which the hearings officer found was satisfied. The second is the adequacy of public services. This includes water, sewer, transportation, and infrastructure. And then the third is that the properties within the city boundaries, which this, of course, is. All the appropriate bureaus and internal agencies reviewed this for compliance. They all found that they were compliant. Transportation evaluated a fairly comprehensive transportation impact analysis for the potential change of uses and found that the criteria were satisfied. And so the hearings officer did find that the zone map amendment approval criteria were satisfied.
Commissioner Hardesty has a question.
Yes.
Thank you. My question is, so there's no immediate plan to change the use of that site. Is that accurate?
Well, so the proposal for this, before any proposal of change of use could come in, this has to be removed. So there's no uses associated with this review. And that's important for a couple different reasons. One is that we're just simply taking the condition off. But two, if we evaluated it for a specific use, if there were conditions of approval associated with that use, they would then be tacked on to this comprehensive plan change and map amendment. And then any changes to that would have to come back through this entire process.
And second question is it the entire property? What about the open space that's already designated as open space? Are you recommending we remove that designation as well?
No, I am not. It's just the zone will stay the change. That's why this is kind of unique that we're here. The zones will not change. Overlays will not change. It's simply that condition of approval will be removed. And then it's just like any other parcel within the city, subject to the zoning requirements.
Thank you.
You bet. That's actually the conclusion, because there's not a whole lot of approval criteria, and the bulk of it is, of course, the 633 comprehensive plan policies. But again, staff, the hearings officer and staff found that they were on the whole equally supportive of that, and so that they recommended approval. So if you have any other questions, I'm happy to respond and answer to those.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for sending me the hearings officer's decision and the council's report from 1989?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
It was a while ago. I was interested that you highlighted, because you sent me your PDF, the same concern that I have, which is about housing. So is housing required in the CM3 zone?
It's not required. It can be completely commercial use, or it can be solely residential use. Generally speaking, when we see these projects, they come in with a mixed use. That's, we changed the zone a couple years ago to offer more robust allowance of uses.
But it could be completely office or commercial?
Theoretically.
So did you consider recommending a condition of approval that there be at least 168 units of housing to preserve the current capacity?
We did not.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We might see you again later.
All right.
Next up is the applicant. I'm sorry, not the, yes, the applicant. Welcome. Name for the record, 15 minutes. Up to 15 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, commissioners. I'm Allison Reynolds, and I'm the applicant. I doubt that I will need 15 minutes, but we fully agree with the recommendation from the hearings officer and are hoping that the council will adopt that. The only other thing that I'd like to add is that we would not support a condition of approval that Commissioner Fritz was noting, not because we don't intend to redevelop this with housing. In fact, that is part of the plan, but I think that when we were looking at the client that I'm working with was looking at this site, it was very frustrating that there was a use specific condition that I did ensure that what we thought we wanted to do with the site would not be allowed and forced us to go back through this CPZC process, which is fairly robust and time consuming. And so we just in general think that removing a condition that currently prohibits housing on this site is clearly more supportive than a situation like it is today where no housing could be built. So allowing the possibility for housing here, we think meets the approval criteria. The only other thing I'll add is that we would be happy to take any additional questions that the council might have about how this proposal meets the approval criteria. And we also have our traffic engineers, Lancaster Mobley, here in case there are traffic-related conditions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Question?
Commissioner Fritz.
So in the, thank you for your testimony. In the zone change, it was contingent upon two things. One was to having the extended stay residence so there was a residential use, and the other was to change another property to compensate for half of the housing which would otherwise have been allowed on this site under the RH.
Sure.
I don't understand why you would be averse to a condition that said that you have to develop at least 168 units of housing on it if that's what your intent is.
So the current intent that the client I am working with has is to develop this with some housing. I do not know that it will be a whole entirely 168 units. I believe they are considering that now, but there may be some other changes that occur on the site. And so I think our key objection to this is that we do not want to have this property further conditioned with specific use types. I believe that the CM3 zone, because it allows housing and encourages that, having the CM3 zone without restriction is clearly more supportive of development of housing than a condition that currently bans housing on the site.
I'm not quite understanding that. Last week we heard from the same hearings officer that losing one house to be an office would significantly impact their statewide planning goal 10. So I don't understand why if we do away with certainty that there will be housing, especially since your client is looking to do some. And he just made me quite nervous saying that it might not be as many as 168 units. This is a prime site where a lot of the other comprehensive plan policies say put more housing on transit, put more housing in centers, put more housing near commercial, etc.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you that we are supportive of housing in this area, and the change we're asking for is simply to remove a condition that currently does not allow a single housing unit on the property. And so I am simply asking that an additional condition not be placed on this property. We do not feel that it is necessary for that condition, or that the condition is necessary in order for our proposal to meet the criteria for approval. And those criteria, as are outlined in the hearing officer report, find that simply removing a restriction, which currently says that on this fairly large site, not a single housing unit is allowed, that removal of that is more supportive of a policy to have adequate housing in the city than having that condition there. And so that is what we are proposing. We're not proposing a specific condition that requires housing. We do, as I said, at this point, the current client I'm working with does intend to develop that as housing. I don't know what the actual plan will be for the site because we do not have a proposal that's currently moving forward.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I actually have a question for staff when we get back to that.
Okay. Any more questions for the applicant? Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Next up are supporters of the applicant. 3 minutes each, name for the record.
No one else signed up.
Okay. And then after that would be opponents of the applicant.
No one signed up.
Followed by any rebuttal from the applicant, which you don't need. Council discussion, staff, I guess, why don't you come back up? Commissioner Hardesty would like to ask you a couple of questions.
Hello.
Hi, thank you. Following Commissioner Fritz's question, this is an area of the city that has a very robust public transit systems in place, easy, accessible, walkable neighborhood. Wouldn't we all love to have a walkable neighborhood? So my question is, why not have a restriction on it that it actually just be for housing? And did you consider that as the as you were making your recommendation?
Well, I should probably clarify one thing and then answer your question. So to clarify and to kind of follow up on what the applicant was discussing, is that the nature of the condition right now, housing is prohibited.
Right.
So there's zero units. Even though the extended stay hotel is designed as what could be construed as apartments or housing units, it's only there for stays below 30 days.
Right.
So that's the code requirement. Lifting this condition of approval opens it up to everything that's allowed in the CM3, which is a mixed-use zone, and typically the form that we see is retail, sales, service on the bottom, restaurants, you know, whatever you have, possibly offices, and then the upper floors tend to be residential units. It is a very robust zone with one of our highest height allowances of the commercial zones, and it's a very large site, so it's not restricted by number of units or density, it's restricted by floor area ratio, so there can be a gamut of how they would design that. We did not evaluate whether or not we should put a condition of approval requiring a certain minimum amount of housing units. There used to be in the old commercial codes minimum, I take that back. There is minimum density that is in there that if you do develop a household living that you have to have a certain amount of units. So that's based upon the site area. But again, typically because this is so far close into the city, the size of the site, the amenities and infrastructure around it, I don't think I can recall a project where we had the minimum, which we would have to calculate what the minimum was
right.
to find out what that number is. So the 168, that's the extended stay hotel
right.
units,
right.
if you will.
I got that. Thank you. That's helpful.
Great. Okay.
This is my 12th year on the council, and I'm a little skeptical about trusters who are going to do the right thing.
Mm.
And in particular, we all know that there's a housing crisis. We know that developers have been trying to avoid building housing that is subject to inclusionary housing. So I am very reluctant. And if you read the decision as to how they got the zone change in the first place. Now, yes, they're just taking off the condition now, but the conclusion of the hearings officer in 1989 was two primary reasons support a favorable response to the zone change. One was changing the other block to provide half of the housing potential. And then the other is the specific character of the development proposal. Extended motels are a fairly recent innovation. The design and appearance of this development shares many of the characteristics of multifamily development. This is an important factor in whether the proposal is consistent with the plan's neighborhood's goals, as is the applicant's willingness to condition this request to this specific development.
Council.
Commissioner. Council had a question.
The applicant's attorney has indicated that they would be open to a condition of 100 units. Would you like to hear from the applicant again? That's not the normal procedure, but I wanted to make sure that information was passed along to you.
Let's hear it.
I would.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Sorry to interrupt. Thank you for letting me be heard. So I just conferred with my client, the folks that will actually be doing the development, and they agree. They do fully understand the concern that all of you are raising, that we don't want to have a situation in this site that doesn't have housing on it. And so that is the intent here. The issue is that because of the current configuration with how these are set up as hotel rooms, we just don't know that we can commit to 168 housing units. But 100 units sounded fine to everyone we were talking with. And so that would be a condition that we would be okay with accepting. I don't know if that addresses your concern, but that it is just a redevelopment issue on the site.
Well, the CM3 zone is one of the highest intensities. It allows a lot of development.
Yes.
So I don't understand why only 100 units would be envisioned there.
Yeah, the so I think we would say at least 100 units. We definitely would not want to be hamstrung to only building 100 units. The current plan that my clients have is to actually take the existing structures, which function somewhat in a kind of look somewhat
like
a garden mm-hmm. apartment style, and they are planning to do an internal conversion of that. And so that is why the 168 unit number, we're just not sure that with the plan for the internal conversion and how they'd like to actually set up the rental, meaning number of bedrooms and things within the units, that 168 would work out here. So that's why we're asking for that.
Okay.
All right.
And so it sounds like we could say a minimum of 100, right? So we don't want to limit your ability to build more, right? But I certainly would support having a minimum of 100 housing units. I used to live in that neighborhood, so I know that this area that went straight down to the freeway mm-hmm. where nothing was for 25 years, all of a sudden now has skyrise apartments or condos, right? Which kind of freaks me out. But and this is like right in the middle of that block area, so I know it is important because we've lost some new housing that was supposed to go in that area, and all of us, and now it's not going. So I think we really have a commitment, knowing what the transportation infrastructure is, that housing be a primary part of that area. So it sounds like we've got an agreement.
Yeah, so I'll chime in on this. I was anticipating Commissioner Fritz putting forward an amendment for 168 units, and to be honest, I was prepared to oppose it. And the reason is the lot is currently, the parcel's underdeveloped right now. It's a high-value developable parcel in the central city in an area that's experiencing a lot of dynamic change and growth. And so now that the applicant is prepared to commit to 100 units of housing, I will certainly take that. It sounds like they're prepared to give their word that they're willing to do that. But the thing I want to just remind people, in the context of a land use hearing, the question is what's being offered superior to the status quo in terms of meeting the council's established development plans? And the answer from my perspective is unequivocally yes, and I suspect that's why there's no opposition. And so that they're willing to go the extra step and commit to a certain development mix on that parcel, which I think also happens to comport with our desires around increased housing in the central city. Great. I'm all in.
And Mayor Wheeler, I would just respond by saying that I think we would still prefer to have this be an unconditioned situation, to take the condition away and not add an additional condition. However, to the extent that a condition is needed to ensure that housing is developed on this site, we would prefer the 100 to the 168 that Commissioner Fritz was asking for the reasons that I outlined. But we do still think, as I expected or I stated before, that removing a ban on housing is clearly more supportive of housing policy than having the ban, and that's what we're looking to do.
And this is a great compromise, and it meets a bunch of different goals. Commissioner Daley had a comment.
Thank you, Mayor. I would have supported this with or without the condition. We don't have a lack of housing. We have a lack of affordable housing. So presumably, if you're building 100 units, you will probably be required to provide 20 of them at, or 10 to 20 of them at a 60 to 80% of median family income. I understand how expensive and time-consuming these processes are, and I also understand the nature of the market that your developing client or partner is working within, and that deals fall through, and any condition placed on the property may impact your ability to develop or sell in the future. So we've had hundreds, if not thousands, of units built in that vicinity, and there's an overabundance of market and luxury rate apartments, so mm-hmm. It's just less of an issue for me.
Mayor, I move that we approve the hearings officer's recommendation with the amendment that it would be a minimum of 100 housing units would be required for this property.
Second.
We have
and
a motion.
That would be a condition of approval.
Great. We have
and
a
it would be a tentative decision subject to findings coming back at a time certain.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. We have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty, a second from Commissioner Fritz with all the appropriate language inserted that we are required to insert. Anything else, legal counsel?
We'll come back at a date and time certain to adopt with findings, and the applicant will prepare some updated findings to reflect today's testimony. So what's your timeline for that, you think?
We are happy to get that done as quickly as you think you can review it, so we could be back with that in, 3 or 4 days.
Carla, what's the next date and time certain available?
I would say come back on the 19th, unless you want to come back next Wednesday.
Probably next week is not possible office.
So the 19th, Commissioner Fritz is gone, but we should be okay.
So we need 3 affirmative votes,
right.
And from the conversation, it looks like that we're all in agreement with this amendment, so looks like the 19th will be just fine.
Okay, and then we'll do 9:45 time certain.
9:45.
Yep. All right, so we'll take the tentative vote. Legal counsel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So first with the amendment, call the roll, please.
Fritz.
Actually, you know what? I stand corrected. It is now the main motion because it's with a condition.
The motion as stated by Commissioner Hardesty.
Correct. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you very much for your willingness to compromise. I think we all have the same goals. I just, having had the condition before that required housing, I want to make sure that we do get housing. And so I think this looks like it'll be a really good development. Aye.
Hardesty.
I'm always appreciative when Amanda Fritz pulls something out of her back pocket that, is old and dusty, and she's actually reviewed it and brings it into the current conversation. I think this is a good compromise, and I'm very grateful to the proposers that they were willing to accommodate this request. I vote aye.
You Daly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I want to second what Commissioner Hardesty just said. I will miss Commissioner Fritz when she is no longer on this council because she has a long view to the history of a lot of the arcane planning processes of this city and codes. And it actually is important to remember that history. And I appreciate the role that you play to bring it forward. While I would not have perhaps supported the entire amendment that you originally put forward, I think this is a really fabulous compromise, and I'm really appreciative that the applicant is willing to agree to this. I think this is a win-win-win for the community. And I'm really excited to see what happens on that parcel in the years ahead. I think it could be really a tremendous opportunity for you and for the community, and I look forward to supporting it. I vote aye. The motion carries. This is a tentative vote. The final vote will be taken on Wednesday, February 19th, time certain, 9:30 a.m.
9:45
a.m.
The record is closed.
And the record is closed.
Let me know if you need me to call in.
Thanks. Good. Excellent. Next up, Carla, item 112, please.
That's 3 p.m. time certain.
Oh, look at that. We'll come back at 3 p.m. We're in recess.